Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerene Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM, and joining me today is John Ritchie, the superintendent of the Tri-County Educational Services Center, and Chris Perrone, the director of curriculum and instruction. Thank you guys for coming in for Focus Fridays today. I really do appreciate it, and I kind of feel like the Tri-County Education Services are something that a lot of people may not know what they do or that they exist.
Yeah, we're a pretty diverse group of people. We provide services to the local schools and the city schools in Ashland, Wayne, and Holmes County. So we provide things like special ed assistance. We provide run preschools, special needs preschools, and most of the districts in that area. We provide fine arts, things like that. We have math specialists and reading specialists, and we have school psychologists, and we have behavioral folks that help different schools. So what we do is we try to cast our net wide and try to help the schools with things that maybe they may not be big enough to have on their own, but if we share them amongst other districts, it becomes something that's affordable and also makes a great deal of sense, not only economically, but for the students in those districts.
And it's a great resource for these schools to have. To maybe they're looking at getting something like this. They can try it through you guys if they're a member of services and see, okay, yeah, this, we do need this. We do need a psychologist or something. And
yeah, and a lot of times we'll start a program and it will grow and we'll add additional people. In some cases, the school districts decide they want to add that person themselves. So I think you're exactly right. It's a chance for them to dip their toe in the water, but not jump in the whole pool until they know how it all kind of works out.
And it's kind of like insurance. The more people who are involved, the better it is for everybody.
Yeah, and I would say that's one of the neat things. We have times where the superintendents meet, and we have times where the special ed people meet and the principals meet, and it's a chance for them to dialogue with one another, for their colleagues from other schools and other school districts, about things. Hey, I had experienced this. How did you deal with that? Or you experienced that, and how did you deal with it? Or, you know, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And it's great to have the collegial group of people that can learn from one another and also steal other people's ideas. I mean, I'd be
it's
lying.
Sharing, if, not yeah, stealing.
Okay, stealing. But okay, we'll go with sharing.
And so you are the superintendent for Tri-County Education. And how long have you been the superintendent?
12 years now.
It's crazy how time flies.
Gosh,
isn't it?
No, 14 years now. 14, I misspoke. 14.
And so, how did you come across being the superintendent there?
Well, it's really weird. At the time, I was the superintendent of three other school districts, Orville, Rittman, and Southeast. And so they approached me and asked if I would be interested in doing that. One of the reasons we did it, we called it the administrative compact, is you take the salary of a superintendent and divide it by four districts. It's not like I got four big salaries. And what they did is divide it by four different districts, again, to try to keep administrative costs down. So what happened is I did those four districts. I did those three districts, then came on and actually did a district, added Tri-County. And then I'm getting to the point in my career where it's more near the end than the beginning. And I basically have retired and I'm no longer doing Orville, but I'm doing Rittman, Wayndale. Noticed it switched from Southeast to Wayndale. Rittman, Wayndale, and now Tri-County.
And so kind of in a nutshell, just quick, and we'll get more into it, as a superintendent, what is your main goal for Tri-County?
Well, I think it's to be a cost-effective organization that provides quality resources for the school districts that we serve.
And we also have Chris Perrone with us, and you are the Director of Curriculum and Instruction. How long have you been with Tri-County?
The same amount of years as John. I was fortunate enough to be able to make that jump to Tri-County ESC at the same time.
And as the Director of Curriculum, is it similar to like the Director of Curriculum at a singular school, or is it a little different being with Tri-County?
It is a little different. It's a broader range because each school kind of uses different programs, and we monitor what the state is kind of putting out there and try to stay ahead of that so that we are a good resource for our districts. Not every district follows the same curriculum guides, but we try to be able to be their services and resources to help them out.
because it's about adjusting to how their students learn.
Absolutely.
And the districts that are involved in Tri-County are very different.
Yes.
And you're also a familiar with the Holmes County area. Folks may recognize your name.
I was born and raised in Holmes County, and I graduated from West Holmes, spent 24 years working in the West Holmes school system before going to Tri-County ESC.
So yeah, so if you were like me, like, hey, I know that name, that sounds familiar. Yes, we are. So that's just a little bit of a taste on what the Tri-County services do. We're going to get more into that. I am with John Ritchie, the superintendent, and Chris Perrone, the director of curriculum and instruction for Tri-County Educational Services. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. We are back here for Focus Fridays. I'm with John Ritchie, the superintendent, and Chris Perrone, the director of curriculum and instruction for Tri-County Education Services. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays. And one of the services and things that you provide are in the fine arts area, student services.
Yeah, we do a variety of things. It's kind of neat, since I'm down here in Holmes County, that the person that runs our fine arts program is Alex Looney, a former East and West Holmes employee. So we're real excited to have Alex on board. And he does a lot of things. First of all, he meets with like band directors and choir directors and music teachers and art teachers. They have chances to have in-services and training on things. So it's neat to know that we impact the classroom. But he does things like the Festival of Choirs, the one-act play festival. You know, we have Academic Challenge, which really isn't fine arts, but kind of fits into that program. We have a Bandorama where they do, at the Wayne County Fair, the Wayne County bands do the things. We have a variety of things that he does that I think are really neat. It's, you know, I know we're a sports-centric society, I understand that, but we have some kids doing some fantastic things in the fine arts and all of our
Oh, for sure. Colleges. As a fine arts kid myself, and
go.
Not a sports kid, I am in 100% agreement with that. And sometimes those get overlooked, and it's great that you guys are helping to create, with Mr. Looney's help, that exposure.
Absolutely. We have kids going to orchestra things. We have book clubs. We have all kinds of things that are just great for our kids that are interested in those kind of programs. And it's really neat to pull all those kids together. When you see a festival of choirs and you hear 10 different schools each doing their own, then combining, you know, we'll bring in a guest conductor to do that, you know. When you hear the honors band play, that is...
Alum,
okay, fantastic. The honors band. It's just really neat to see the talents that the kids from the various school districts bring.
It was a great experience. And the guest director, and it was definitely a lot of fun.
Plus, you got out of school a couple of days for practice. So,
yeah, well, you know.
So,
but it was a great experience. Yeah. Being able to bring kids from other schools together to learn to work together is another great opportunity as well.
No, and we're really proud of that segment of what we do. And again, little school districts don't have the breadth of things like a Worcester may have or an Ashland may have. So it's neat that those kids, you bring them all together and they get exposed to kids that from different backgrounds.
And different talents, and
absolutely,
you learn from a different director, so you're not working with the same director and learning to work together and under a quick pressure.
And we have art shows. We have art shows that we do for the kids, and one of the bigger things in Wayne County is the Wayne County Fair.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a fair building where all the art gets judged from kids from kindergarten to 12th grade, and they would give out a lot of ribbons. So
yes.
It's really a neat event, and like I know they do some things in Ashland and Holmes County as well with the arts to help promote those, not just the fine arts, but art itself.
And it's growing here in Holmes County. That's definitely something that they're working on at the fair. So is there other things that you guys are working? You mentioned Academic Challenge.
We host Academic Challenge.
It's a great
tournaments
for
all the
kids.
We run the Spelling Bee, so we do the Spelling Bee. We have a speech contest for kids. So,
alum.
Man, I should have had you do the interview. We have STEM camp, a STEM summer camp that really is neat for kids that maybe learn a different way or are excited about that area of program.
And so, STEM is such an up-and-coming and really establishing itself with kids these days.
And one of the other things we do is a young authors conference where we bring in an author or a couple authors, and kids get to come and hear the author speak and have them read their books. So it's really neat to watch all those different kind of programs happen and see how excited it is. You know, everybody believes school is like sitting in your desk and doing what you're told to do, and those things still exist, but this is a neat chance for kids to be more actively involved in the educational process, which is extremely important.
And it's stuff they wouldn't get to do if Absolutely. It were if they were just with their singular district. Absolutely. There's no way a district can provide
a lot
that.
Of our kids would never go get to see the orchestra, would never go get to participate in some of the things that we have. So it's really a neat thing for kids, and we're excited to be able to offer it.
I think the speech contest thing was one of the single most things that helps me here, and it's a great opportunity for kids to learn public speaking and be better at it and improve and build on it, because that's something that trips up a ton of people.
Absolutely.
So you're not just giving them fun stuff, but really helping them with these things that will help them longer down the line.
A lifelong skill that you need.
Exactly. Speaking is definitely one of those.
I see your job. We know that because of the job you do.
Is there anything else that we need to touch on while we're in fine arts and student services?
I think that's the highlight of fine arts. And we're always open to new ideas. And
those
and
are great things. Highlights. Yeah. Yeah. It's stuff all year round. So that is awesome. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one going, ooh, I'm an alum from that. And a lot of people probably don't realize that it's through Tri-County that they get to do this. Because some of it's in the name. Yeah. But like the Young Authors Conference, it's always been known as the Young Authors Conference. And
well, and so many of these things we do at other school districts. We don't have a gym, and we don't have an auditorium. So a lot of times we'll have that at the Highland High School, or we'll have it at Doughton High School or Smithville High School
or
an
Worcester
elementary school
or wherever,
Worcester.
Yeah.
I mean, the College of Worcester is also a good partner with us for some of those things.
Yeah, that's where Tri-County was for us. So
again, it's neat because they also get to go to other schools and other things like that as well.
Yes, definitely really awesome things in the fine arts. And it's always good to see that sports kids are doing great things, but the fine arts kids sometimes kind of live in that shadow. So it's awesome that you just keep coming up with more and adding those STEM activities and things. So
math, most people know it kind of as math-a-thon.
Yeah.
That's what's coming next, that they're going to try and put together some mathematical bowl that kids can come in.
There's a lot of math kids around here.
Oh,
it amazes
I know.
Me. Like, we do student spotlights and they're like, math's my favorite subject. I'm like, yay!
Yeah, I know. But that's one that we're working on to expand on. And
yeah, math seems to be the it thing this year with everything.
Well, the state is changing the focus, I guess, changing the focus from language arts to math. So that's the next place they're going. You're going to see school districts really providing more emphasis on math than they maybe have at any other time.
I graduated at a good time.
Well, there you go.
I had some great math teachers. So, well, we've got plenty more to talk about what you guys do at Tri-County Education Services. That's John Ritchie, the superintendent, and Chris Perrone, the director of curriculum and instruction. For WKLM's Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick. Joining back here on Focus Fridays, I have John Ritchie, the superintendent, and Chris Perrone, the director of curriculum and instruction. And we spoke in our last segment about the fine arts and other student services opportunities that you guys offer through Tri-County. And another service that you offer is preschool, which a lot of schools don't have. So this is great that you have this offering.
Yeah, we provide preschool for most of the Tri-County area, but it's a specific type of preschool. It's preschool for special needs kids. Now we have typical kids in there as well. So we probably have, I'd guess, 400 kids in preschool throughout the different area. They can start at age 3. And basically, the kids that enroll that early are kids that have maybe delayed in some area academically or fine motor skills. So we have physical therapists. We have occupational therapists. We have speech and hearing therapists. It's an expensive program, but we really think it makes a big difference to get those kids the kind of help they need as early as possible. We have preschool teachers that are all licensed pre-K, but also have a intervention specialist license, so they're certified as special ed. We have aides that the school districts provide the transportation for those students. So it's something that's significant for us in relationship to the things we do. We're part of the Step Up to Quality program, and we're the highest level of Step Up to Quality, so we're extremely well-regarded by the state, and I think the vast, vast majority of parents are really pleased with the progress our kids make.
Well, you having all of these resources makes it a lot easier for you in handling those cases that can take a little more time, take a little more special focus to help get them. Maybe it's just a little delay and they will get them right into their age appropriateness.
Yeah. I think one of the things that also makes us unique is, you know, if we didn't run that, the preschool would be something that somebody had tacked onto their job with all the other things we do. We're preschool experts. We have people, that's what they do. They don't worry about the buses getting there for sporting events. They don't worry about, you know, other things that occur. They are preschool experts. So we have a great deal of resources to draw upon as it relates to, you know, what's the best thing we can possibly do for kids in preschool. And again, we also remember we have typical kids in there. So we have some kids that are just moving along just perfectly because preschool openings are hard for people to find.
Yes.
We're very fortunate that we have space that we take those kids. And then a number of our school districts run their separate own preschools outside of us, but we do provide them professional assistance to help them navigate some of the challenges of working with 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds.
Challenges with 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds? I would never.
Yeah. And a lot of our kids are medically fragile, so there'll be full-time nurses in there taking care of those kids because we want to make sure we do everything we can to ensure that they're successful. And like I said, early intervention is the key. Things that we can work on now means that the likelihood of them being successful further down their educational career is significantly higher.
Definitely. And like you said, you guys have all the resources. Some districts just don't have the funding or the manpower to be able to work with the needs of having a preschool.
And another program we offer, kind of not preschool related, but special education related, is we have a parent mentor program. And the way that works is in conjunction with the state, there's a person that works out of our office that helps, for lack of a better term, mediate concerns when the parent and the school district don't see eye to eye.
What?
That sometimes happens. I know. It's hard to believe.
Hard to believe.
And what they try to do is take a very, I would call them Switzerland. They try to keep a very neutral thing and say, okay, you know, can we work with this? Can we work with this? How do we come up with a solution that's truly the most important thing, a big win for the kid?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what's important.
A big win for the kid, but not putting the school district in a place where they can't accomplish those things. So she works with some of the more challenging special ed cases, and all the parent has to do is pick up a phone and give a call. And she will go to the meetings with them and help them navigate. And sometimes it's managing parents' expectations, too. But most of the time, it's just putting those people in the room together and just kind of having somebody kind of mediate's too strong a word, but I'll use it anyway. Mediate. Issues where everybody's not on the same page. I wouldn't say conflict. I'd say mediate issues and concerns.
Well, as a parent, your main concern is your child.
Absolutely.
As a school district, you have a lot of children that you have to be concerned about. And so it may be hard to communicate that because the parent, they're worried about their child. But the school district has many childs to take care of.
Yes, so clearly you have to balance those things. And again, I know the superintendents here well enough that they all care about individual kids like crazy.
100%.
They'll do everything they reasonably can.
But there's a lot to care about.
But there's a lot to care about. And there's limited resources. So that always makes it a challenge as well.
And I feel like that is a service I didn't know that you had. And I've been through schooling and everything. And I bet there's a lot of parents who are in the same position that don't know that that is a service that you offer.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of people that don't realize that. But you have to remember, 99% or 95% of the things just go smoothly. But sometimes it just there is the one that isn't. And our goal is to try to, before it escalates into something that becomes, well, for lack of a better term, a legal matter that's expensive for all parties concerned, what we try to do is come up with a solution that's balanced for the parents and student and the school district.
It all affects the student.
Absolutely.
Watching them not agree or not come up with a solution that's best, but that's awesome. Can they find that service like on their website?
Yeah, on our website. And again, you'd look it up, it'd be Parent Mentor. And so it's Addie Taylor would be the person that does that. So again, it's one of those things that just a kind of a niche service that we provide, and 99% of the people won't use it, but the 1% that do, they really do appreciate it.
I say, I'm sure they appreciate that because sometimes you feel very alone in your voice, and having somebody who understands both sides and isn't on a side is good. Awesome. Well, those are some great services that it's good to inform people about. I am with John Ritchie, the superintendent for Tri-County Education Services, and Chris Perrone, the director of curriculum and instruction. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Friday. We are coming back here on Focus Fridays with Superintendent John Ritchie and the director of curriculum and instruction, Chris Perrone, For Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick, and at the Tri-County Education Services Center, you guys have a lot of meetings available for folks with all kinds of different topics.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of neat because it's a two-building operation. We have an office building where most of the work gets done, and we also have an event center, which is an old school building like place where we have meetings and things like that. It's got state of the art technology. A lot of school districts will do their negotiations there, or people will use it again as a place where, you know, you can tie into different things. So we'll have like meetings with superintendents, principals, curriculum directors, special ed directors. I mean, the Wayne County Athletic League meets there to have their league meetings, things like that. But I think that's one of the things that really makes a big difference in what we do, the number of meetings we have and the topics. So like a typical superintendent's meeting, we'll have a variety of things to talk about. You know, sometimes we'll talk about legal issues. Like a recent topic would have been open enrollment, mm-hmm. and how the laws with open enrollment have changed, that many school districts are going to get out of the open enrollment business.
I've heard
because
rumble
it actually
of that.
costs you money to take the open enrollment kids. It used to be you got a separate pool of money for them. Now it's a situation where it's just not, it's not as advantageous in a lot of school districts. It's not, you actually would cost you money to take open enrollment kids. So I think so. But a group of superintendents getting to talk about how they're going to address that. We have a lawyer that works for us that also does consortium work for the whole Tri-County Educational Service Center. And the nice part with that is we've got about $100 less per hour for her services than a regular client would pay.
Which is fantastic with a lawyer.
Well, it's fantastic. And, we'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars when you look at all the legal issues that the school districts face during the school year. And we're, again, trying to drive down costs. But we'll get legal updates, like I said, like this is how you need to deal with 3 years ago, the bathroom issue. We got legal advice on how you deal with it. Didn't mean you had to follow it, but you at least understood how all that stuff worked. You know, so it's new special ed laws that come out. We've done things like that lawyer helped us get involved with a Juul lawsuit. And most mm-hmm. of the school districts participated in that, got somewhere between $10,000 and $40,000. You know, so we said as a group of superintendents, say, how can we make sure if there's a settlement in social media, if there's a settlement in insulin, mm-hmm. there's these class action lawsuits. So we'll have those kind of discussions. We'll talk about cafeteria ideas because it's hard to make a cafeteria run with a profit and not have to transfer general fund money over.
Well, cost of food these days.
Oh, and labor. And it used to be, and to be honest with you, some of our local fast food places pay more per hour than we can afford to pay a school lunch lady.
That's lunch man,
I want to be politically correct. The school lunch person, is that the best way to do that?
That's the way to do that, yes.
So again, we'd have all those kind of conversations, from that to talking about transportation issues. I mean, and like I said, it's great to get those ideas from other people and bounce things off one another. We spent a lot of time talking about school funding.
That's the hot topic right now. We've had
people from BASA, our superintendent's organization, speak to us about that, and it clearly is one of the more challenging times in my entire career. I've been a superintendent now for 27 years, and I can tell you this is the first time in my entire career I have less of a feel for what I'm going to get from this state and less confidence in what I'm going to receive from the state than at any other time.
It's definitely a hot button issue.
And you're going to see school districts all over the state running into economic troubles. And again, this probably wouldn't be popular with my superintendent colleagues. I don't think somebody's property taxes should have went up 35%. I don't think that. But the powers that be created this system, and it backfired on them.
And now some faults that need fixed.
And it's taken decades to get it this screwed up, and they're trying to fix it all at once with, in many cases, I don't think they realize some of the unintended consequences that are going to occur.
And that's where you guys are helping to chime in.
We're helping to chime in. We have different time. We have legislators come and meet with us, and we're always respectful, and they're always respectful. But at least we want them to at least think about some of those things. And again, I don't believe that the administrative compact that I was part of, that shared treasurer service, we trade transportation services, we shared special ed services. It was about trying to find a more efficient way to provide services to kids and save the taxpayers money.
All the schools are going through it.
And absolutely. And you know the system's messed up. And again, I'm not casting blame to one political party or the other. You know the system's screwed up if 2/3 of the schools are having problems.
Right.
It's not like there's just this one idiot superintendent who's messing everything up. Everybody's
now, there may be one or two out there.
but everybody's right. going through it. We all can't be that. We all
struggling.
Can't be that bad.
Correct.
You know, so I think you look at those things, and it's certainly going to be an interesting time, and it's going to be interesting to see the taxpayer relief that's provided and what things have to go. And it's not just the schools. It's the sheriff's department. It's the fire department. It's the levy roads, libraries. I mean, all these things are affected. And again, you're hearing this from a superintendent. I don't think property tax increases 35%, 25%, 17%.
Because you're not just a superintendent. You live in the area.
And
you're
paying. And I don't want people to lose their homes. I don't want things. But I wish we'd spend a little more time thinking of a plan that made sense, that addressed as many of those concerns as possible. And I think what should have been done with a scalpel was maybe done with a machete.
What? The government used the wrong precision tool?
Yeah, and like I said, I don't want to rail against the political powers. I think there's a problem.
There is.
There's no question there's a problem. It's just the question of the means in which we're going to correct that problem. And how do we do it in a way that's beneficial to all? I guess I'd rather take, if I had high cholesterol, I'd rather take my medicine dose at a time than wait and have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
How do we fix this a dose at a time? Let's not go straight to the surgery.
Right, because you guys are struggling with all kinds of issues, and sometimes it all just comes down to the funding. You've got busing, transportation. Right. Every school in the state is struggling to get enough bus drivers. You said the cafeteria workers.
Yeah.
And that's another struggle with the food costs and everything. It's everything, and it all comes back to how much money is available to get somebody to do it.
And I sympathize with people that are paying over $4 a gallon for gas. I mean, I get money's tight. We need to be, as school leaders, need to be judicious and make sure we're fiscally responsible with the funds that we have. But our costs go up too. And like I said, I wish if I had the answer that could everybody agree with, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking.
Right, like would be in.
I just think we need to make sure that whatever we do makes sense for the taxpayers and the stakeholders and the school district as well. And I do think there's a place where that makes some sense and can happen.
And it's great that you're bringing everybody together and to have those talks that you can maybe get an idea and share and move on, and you have those contacts.
Yeah. So those are the kind of conversations we have at that level. And at the curriculum level, it could be as much as, hey, here's a new math series that people are looking at adopting, or here's the way the math program is going to look, or here's some new things rolling out from the state. Those kind of things that you know, it's good to hear what your colleagues are doing, and like I said, I think it gives you a sense of confidence if you're going the same way most of your peers are going. But I also think you can learn some things too, and go, hey, I tried this and it didn't work, or it wasn't what I thought it would be,
or our kids struggled with this, or whatever. So
I mean, we had a school district, for example, that bought metal, that had metal detectors, and they entered this contract, and it's been nothing but a boondoggle. So what happened was that now if I was ever thinking about adding a metal detector, I know I don't want to get into an arrangement like that.
Right.
I want to learn from other people's mistakes, trying to make as few of my own as I can.
Which is a great way
and
to
And I
operate.
Also want to learn from other people's successes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It
saves you time. It saves you time. It saves you money, and it saves a lot of things.
And that's great that you guys offer that.
Yeah.
Well, we've got plenty more to talk about in just a couple more segments here. That is John Ritchie, the superintendent for the Tri-County Education Services. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. Stepping back in here on Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. I have Tri-County Educational Services Superintendent John Ritchie and Director of Curriculum and Instruction Chris Perrone with me. And we were talking about school funding in general in the last segment, and so the next kind of question is, how is Tri-County Educational Services funded?
Well, it's funded a couple different ways. First, we get a certain amount of money from the state based on the number of kids we serve. And then we just get a certain amount of money from the state, just base money, okay? One of the primary things is we sell our services. So again, if you would want to have a math consultant come up to your school district, we charge you X for a day with a little bit of profit built in so that we can continue to operate. The other thing we have is a lot of school districts need a part of a person or have a person that's a specialist, and they don't hire them in their school district. What they do is hire them through us. So what we do is employ, you know, those folks gosh, how many employees would you say we have, Chris? A couple hundred? At least a couple hundred employees. Yeah. But a lot of those folks we never see. What they'll go straight to the district that picked them. And what we do is process their payroll, make sure we keep track of all that stuff, give them professional guidance if they need help, those kind of things, do their individual professional development plans, and we charge a fee for that. So we're a fee-based thing. So if we're not providing good products, people won't buy them.
Right.
And we don't sell just things just to the Tri-County schools. We sell school things to schools all over the state. Like one of the things we do is Medicare, process Medicare claims, because schools can be eligible for Medicare. We do that for most of the Tri-County school districts and school districts in numerous other counties. And we charge a 10% fee for processing all that stuff. It's a complicated enough task that it's hard for an individual school district to do it.
Right.
And what we provide it to other school districts as well. We do substitute teaching for folks, and we charge people to attend the training, those kind of things. So there's a variety of ways we try to come up with resources beyond the taxpayers. Because one of the things that's pretty consistent is, as it relates to the school population, they're shrinking in Tri-County.
Yes.
There are less students than there were 5 years ago and less mm-hmm. students than there were 10 years ago. I mean, school districts, I think in Tri-County, the last I checked, only one or two school districts actually had higher enrollment from this year to last year. Most of the others are dropping for a variety of reasons. I mean, I think that some people are taking private schools. Some people are homeschooling. Some people are maybe having less kids.
Or no kids. My generation, it's iffy.
Yeah.
You either have a lot or you have none.
So I think so what happens is that funding gets drawn down. We get a lot of grants. We get grants for things. Like we did a lot of stuff during COVID for school districts, processed all the protective gear and all those kind of things. The state was very generous in helping us do those kind of things. So we provide things to folks, and sometimes we charge.
You're a service-based Tri-County Educational Services.
Yes.
So
and we try to keep those prices so that it's affordable for the districts, but that we can make sure we can turn the lights on every day.
Because while they may be paying you, they're going to be paying you less than if they just went out and did it on their own.
Yeah, if they could even do it on their own. Because sometimes they can't find somebody. You know, because you have a behavioral specialist you want to have. Okay, those folks are expensive. A lot of mm-hmm. school districts couldn't afford them, but you need somebody that's going to work 2 weeks a year. Well, if I take the 2 weeks a year that you work at Norwayne, and then I get 3 weeks a year that Triway buys them, and Triway doesn't though, but they have mm-hmm. their own. But then I get Chippewa to buy a couple, I get Ritman to buy a couple, I get East Holmes to buy a couple, and before you know it, people that they couldn't get on their own, I've cobbled together a full schedule for them with them reporting to different school districts to help with those things.
And that not only helps the schools, but maybe helps those professionals looking to get in
to the system, makes perfect sense.
Lays it all out.
School psychologists are hard to find, so I sell school psychologist services to school districts. Because let's say you have a school psychologist, but you have more evaluations than they can get done in a year. You know, well, if you're 20 short, You can't just go find somebody that's going to work 20, but I got somebody that's doing 20 for you and 20 for somebody else and 20 for somebody else. And again, we charge a little bit of a premium cost for that so that we can generate money to offer those services.
And then with that, not only are you offering the services for the professionals, but then you can offer these programs for the students to participate in.
We do a lot of fingerprinting for people, the schools, but more nursing homes and people that need to get fingerprinted. Well, we charge a markup on that, so we'll help, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people get fingerprinted during the course of the year. And so again, we try to figure out a bunch of different ways to raise a little bit of money here and a little bit of money there and keep the lights on.
And that's where you guys have to get creative and figure out what to do.
We're more like a business than any other school district I've ever been associated with. If people don't like our product, we're not a monopoly. If people don't like our product, they won't buy it. And that's kind of the way it works. And some people don't like other people's products and buy ours because they think we do a better job. So it's a competitive, more competitive than maybe a traditional school.
But it's good. It's great that you have all these services, and it's a better way to fund things versus taxpayer
yeah.
money.
Yeah, I collect no tax levies.
We'll say it again. You collect no tax levies.
and no income tax.
None of that.
Now I get money from the state, which is tax money. So I don't want, because I'll get a phone call from somebody saying, well, we don't collect from the locals. The state does give us money to operate. They give all the ESCs some funds to operate.
Because they know you're offering these services. Well, and
they can push initiatives out through us. So if the state wants to do something, they train us and then we train the other people.
And it makes it easier. It's easier to train 20 ESCs in the state
versus 600 school districts.
So yeah. Wonderful. Well, that really brings together a much better picture, I'm sure, for folks on how you're funded. And we've got a lot of things to touch base on here in our last segment. So we're going to take one last break here. I am speaking with John Ritchie, the superintendent, and Chris Brown, the director of curriculum and instruction from the Tri-County Education Services Center for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. We are returning one last time here. I have John Ritchie, the superintendent for Tri-County ESC. And I also have with us Chris Brown, who's been the director of curriculum and instructions. And we've hit all kinds of topics here about Tri-County ESC, really learning how it works and what you guys have to offer. But there's quite a few services that we still haven't touched base on yet.
Yeah, that's very true, I'd say. There's a variety of services that we provide that we didn't touch on during this interview. Like an example would be, one of the things we do is we have new board member training. So we have somebody come up from the Ohio School Boards Association, and they do a 2 to 3 hour workshop on, you know, what you can expect to see as a board member. What is your lane? What is not your lane? How do you work with your fellow colleagues on the board? I mean, so there's something like that that's, you know, once every other year, but kind of a neat thing, and we get pretty good attendance at that. We do a lot of fingerprinting, and I know I mentioned that in another segment, but a lot of people come through the fingerprinting. We do parapro testing. You have to have a license to be a parapro, a teacher's aide, and those kind of things. We provide most of the testing for Tri-County. They come to our place and take it.
Nice.
They take the test with that. We do we keep most of the substitute teaching lists for the county. So we process all the substitute teachers. We make sure that they're all properly certified. We make sure they go through an introductory training, like here's some do's and don'ts and here's how those kind of things work. We run pre-apprenticeship programs that I think are something that's kind of neat to get some kids, to help some kids transition straight from school to work.
Because college isn't for everybody.
No, it's not. And we want to make sure we're hitting all the different things. We do job fairs. We just had a job fair, I think it was it Triway? At Triway this last week, looking for not just teachers, but we had almost all the school districts participate, looking for teachers, bus drivers, cafeteria workers, teachers' aides. And we had, you know, I forget how many it was, 100 and some people come to look for jobs. Again, what we're trying to do is make sure that we can have a pool of talent that's the best available. So and we didn't just go certificated. We went the folks that didn't have to have a license, but they're valuable and extremely important to the operations we provide at the school. We provide professional development opportunities to teachers, be it reading training, be it math training. We do superintendent searches. So if a school district loses their superintendent, moves on or goes someplace else, a number of the school districts let us, and we chose no charge, help them with the superintendent search. We don't pick the superintendent. We process the paperwork, help you with the brochure that you'd pass out. We might give you interview questions, anything that you'd want. It would be as hands-on or hands-off as you want, but we think that's important that we help the school districts land on the right candidate to be the next leader of their place. We also have a couple board members that are, since I'm in Holmes County, John Berkey is one of our board members, and Dick Uhl is one of our board members, too. So I throw a shout-out to them because I'm in Holmes County, so a shout-out to those two. So, again, those are just some of the things that we do that, you know, they aren't huge projects, but collectively, when you add them all up, they make a big, big difference. We also do CPI training, which is restraint training. So there are ways that, and a lot of school districts take advantage of this. You can't just, there are ways you have to handle kids and de-escalation strategies and all those things that you have to do. You can't just jerk a kid by his ear and haul him down to the office. There are ways you have to deal with those things. So we're certified, so we train teachers and administrators and whoever else needs that kind of thing. We provide bus driver in services where they have different, we have people come in and talk to bus drivers about how to deal with kids or specific driving skills that are necessary. So we try to be a catch-all for a lot of those things.
Those are all great things to offer, that you can bring all of the districts together and do one big thing versus each district trying to hold their own training for this or training for that. And it's good to offer those things. And is there anything else that we've missed? And I think that kind of cleaned up our list there, but it's really good to explain what you guys do. People hear Tri-County SC here or there, and probably just whoop, and now it really is a better understanding on all the services that you're providing the districts and even beyond.
Well, and I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you for giving us a chance to talk about the exciting things we do at Tri-County. I think to some degree, since we don't deal directly with parents for the most part, people don't know what we do, but it's great to have a little bit of a pat on the back for us saying, you know, here are the things we do and here's how we help. So thank you very much for inviting Chris and I to speak to you today. It's been an enjoyable morning.
It's been great, and like you said, it's been a great learning experience. So if anybody needs to learn more or maybe tap in on some of the resources that we said, you guys do have a website.
We do.
And what is the website?
Tri-County ESC. If they put in, they'll find it.
Tri-County, yep. So type in Tri-County ESC, and you'll find all the resources you have there.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. That was John Ritchie, the superintendent of Tri-County ESC, and Chris Barone, the director of curriculum and instruction. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hoverns Insurance, Home Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. If you happen to miss an episode of Focus Fridays, which happens each Friday here on WKLM, you can go to the website, WKLMFM.com, and click on the Focus Friday banner, and then click on the episode that you missed. Make sure to tune in next week for our next edition of Focus Fridays right here on WKLM.